Grace, mercy, and peace be unto each of you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Our text is the gospel reading for this day from Matthew chapter 21. I read for you again these words. And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, "Who is this?" And the crowd said, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee." So far the reading of the text. In the name of Jesus, the King who comes to save you. The Advent season begins. The hour has come for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone. The day is at hand. This is most certainly true. And yet, we are much like those in Jerusalem that day. In our spiritual drowsiness, we see the sights and we hear the commotion of the advancing parade. But we don't know what it means. What are we to make of this press of crowd and the mayhem around us? It seems something important is going on. But what? And as we get a closer look, we see that there's someone in the midst of that crowd. But who is it? This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee. But is that all? No. For Jesus is much more than a prophet. He's a king. He's a savior. Now the theme of Advent is, "Behold, your king is coming to you." But he's not mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. No, that happened a long time ago. And yet, it was for your salvation. For the Holy Spirit had spoken through the prophet Zechariah that the King of Israel would come in meekness and lowliness. "Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." As Jesus entered Jerusalem that day, he fulfilled that prophecy. The king was entering the royal city and bringing righteousness and salvation to his people. And yet, those in Jerusalem didn't see Jesus as king. For how unlike earthly kings all this was. After all, the kings of this world come with a show of power. They come riding a mighty steed, wearing armor, and brandishing spear and sword and other weapons. Or maybe in our day, they're riding in a tank or a Humvee and waving firearms. They display the severity and force by which they shed their enemies' blood. They are accompanied by the troops who survived the battle strain. And people shout and cheer lest he turn against them. But Jesus' kingdom is not of this world, as he himself said. And his entry into Jerusalem shows it. For rather than a display of power and glory, he entered as a poor king, looking like a beggar on a borrowed donkey, without saddle or other trappings. He's surrounded not by an army, but by sinners in need of a Savior. He comes not as a conquering king to exact tribute from you, but by sinners in need of a Savior. He comes to give you what is His righteousness, His holiness, His salvation. And He does this by assailing sin and death and overcoming them by the shedding of His own blood. He comes to destroy sin and death by taking them into His very body and defeating them by His own sacrificial death. Thus, He establishes His kingdom, not among the nations of the world, but in the hearts of those who believe in Him and receive Him as their King. They will have their sins forgiven, and death will not harm them, for they will have eternal life. So, though they die physically and are buried, it is but sleep as they await the resurrection. Yes, earthly kings may come in their might and have all their fancy clothes, palaces, money and goods, and the choicest of food and drink. But they are not able to help with the smallest sin, nor with all their money and goods heal the least of illness. And they certainly are not able to rescue from eternal death, everlasting punishment, and hell. But Christ, your King, prevails not only over one sin, but over all your sins. And not only over yours, but all the world's sins. He comes not only to heal your illness, but to take away your death. And not only your death, but also the world's death. Yes, my friends, this is the sort of King you have. And there is none other like Him. He's a holy, righteous King, a Savior and Helper, who wants to make you holy and be your Redeemer. He brings you His holiness and righteousness as a gift, that you might be free from sin and be righteous and blessed before God. He removes your sin, rescues you from death and hell, and He gives you everlasting righteousness and holiness, eternal life, and blessedness. So don't be fooled by His lowliness and the way He shamefully died on the cross. Don't let your eyes deceive you into false belief and despair. For your King comes to help against sin and death, to justify and bring life. He has placed His help in baptism and the sacrament, and incorporated it in the Word and preaching. But He does not force Himself on you. Rather, He continues to come in meekness and lowliness to save you. In water, in word, in bread and wine. Yes, to our eyes, baptism appears to be nothing more than ordinary water. And the sacrament of Christ's body and blood, simple bread and wine, and the sermon, hot air from a man's mouth. But we must not trust what our eyes see, but listen to what the King is teaching us in His word and sacrament. Namely, I poured out my blood to save you from your sins, to rescue you from death, and bring you into heaven. To that end, I have given you baptism as a gift for the forgiveness of sins, and preached to you unceasingly by word of mouth concerning this treasure, sealing it with the sacrament of my body and blood, so that you need never doubt. True, it seems little and insignificant that by the washing of water, the word and the sacrament, this should all be effected. But don't let your eyes deceive you. At that time, it seemed like a small and insignificant thing for Jesus to come riding on a borrowed donkey and later be crucified in order to take away sin, death, and hell. No one could tell this by his appearance, but the prophet had foretold it, and Christ's work later fulfilled it. Therefore, we must simply grasp it with our ears and believe it with our hearts, for our eyes are blind. Who is this? That is your King, my friends, our dear Lord Jesus Christ. And He wants us to know that through His suffering and death, we are redeemed. On this we rest and can say, through the righteousness of my King, the Lord Jesus Christ, I am justified. For that purpose, He became poor and wretched, let Himself be nailed to the cross, to make me holy, to drown sin and death in me. Whoever believes what the gospel declares has what it says. His righteousness shall be your righteousness, His innocence, your innocence. Your sins indeed are great, but by baptism, He bestows on you His righteousness. He strips death from you and clothes you with His life. Behold, your King is coming to you. So the hour has come for you to wake from sleep, for salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. Yes, your King is coming to you. And He's a King who shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. Repent and rejoice. Your King is coming to you, righteous and having salvation. God grant to each of you a firm faith to cling to your King, the one who comes to save you and give you His righteousness and holiness, to the glory of His holy name, now and forever. Amen.